Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. I am thrilled that we have for a full hour a man who has participated at the highest levels of our military and government in various phases of that war, both in uniform as a four-star Navy admiral and as a man who has been contributing mightily to the national security debate and our understanding of its malpractice at the moment, for sure. He is Admiral Ace Lyons. He is a man that I have come to know and greatly admire, not least as the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. He is a wonderful guest and always welcome here. Admiral, thank you for joining us for a full hour to really do a tour de raison, as they say in the diplomatic world, of what's happening around the world. And I cannot thank you enough for both your past service and that you're continuing to render, including with us at the center.
Well, thanks for having me, Frank.
Let's start with kind of your overview. Again, you have served as, among other things, the commander-in-chief of the Pacific Fleet, of the world's largest military command. You have been really very deeply involved, both, as I said, in uniform and out, in national security practice and thought. What do you make of where we are at the moment, sir?
Well, I consider this, over the last 50 years, we're entering one of the most dangerous times that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. I never thought that in my lifetime I would see this great nation being undercut and taken down by our own administration. We are being challenged throughout the world by Russia, by China, by radical Islam, by Iran. And it is not in just one category. And what's most disturbing is the fact of how we're being led and how we plan to confront these challenges. You know, our president, with his leftist background and his Marxist mentors, grew up under the philosophy that it's been American power and influence that has caused many of the world's problems. So anything that undercuts our power and influence is seen as being as objectively progressive. This is nonsense.
Yeah. Admiral Lyons, I've described this sort of doctrine of the Obama presidency myself as kind of nine words of embolden our enemies, undermine our friends, and diminish our country. And you've just spoken to the diminishing of our military, among other capabilities. And we'll talk about each of these sort of various threat vectors and the practice of this president. But it is a stunning thing to look at how far we've come just in the past 6 years in terms of emboldening our enemies and undermining our alliance relationships and, of course, in the process, diminishing our country.
Well, of course, he made this point very clear in 2008. He was going to fundamentally change America. Nobody quite understood what that meant. But we now have a much clearer picture of what his intentions were, which is to undercut our power and influence throughout the world.
Yeah. Let's talk first and foremost about, as an example of how this is working in practice, the rising threat from these Islamists, these global jihadists, if you will. I think of them as Sharia-adherent Muslims, these folks who are operating under a number of different banners. But Admiral, is it your assessment that this is really basically a large, indeed global enterprise? Some have called it the global jihadist movement. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's certainly, you have to start with the organization, which I think has developed great penetration into our society and our administration, and that's the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood creed is out to replace our Constitution with Sharia law. They have been able to infiltrate every one of our national security agencies, including our Department of Defense. Many of the policies that we see being carried out in the Middle East in combating the Islamic threat is influenced by the Muslim Brotherhood penetration. The restricted rules of engagement that have been imposed on our wonderful military forces in combating this threat and has caused thousands of American lives because of these ill-advised restricted rules of engagement, which is central to the counterterrorism philosophy we've been following to try and win the hearts and minds of a tribal society.
This so-called counterinsurgency strategy, also known as COIN. Yeah. And Admiral, when you look at this as and again, our guest is Admiral James Ace Lyons. Today, he is the president and CEO of Lyons Associate, but he formerly served, among other extraordinarily important positions, as the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. And as a military man, Admiral, you look at this enemy, and again, what seems to me to be at the core of this is that we're failing to understand the ideology that animates them. We're dealing with them as sort of isolated incidents, whether it's the lone wolves, we're told, or somehow self-radicalizing in this vacuous, you know, antiseptic way, or groups that we're encouraged to believe have nothing to do with other groups, the Khorasan group or the Islamic State or, you know, Boko Haram. In fact, looking at it from a strategic perspective, is there any doubt in your mind that there is this sort of coherent ideology animating these guys? And while they may have their differences among them, they do march towards the same purpose of imposing Sharia worldwide and establishing a caliphate or something like it to rule the world.
Yeah, well, look, it's got to be understood, Frank, that the so-called moderate Islamists and violent jihadists are bound at the hip by the same draconian Sharia ideology. That you have to understand, your listeners have to understand, that Islam is a political movement, just like communism was, masquerading as a religion. And until you face up to this fact, that we're never going to be successful in combating this political movement. The ideology, what we're witnessing now in the Middle East, in the failed states of Syria and Iraq, is the inter-Islamic sectarian struggle that has gone on for centuries. Our involvement is not going to resolve that. In fact, all the atrocities that we're witnessing by the Islamic State today can find all their justification in the Quran, in 62% of the Quran. 80% of our mosques in this United States, wonderful land of ours, preach sedition. Those imams should be tried for sedition and deported from our country. Those other mosques should be closed.
Admiral, let me ask you about something that you just sort of touched on there. This problem of a doctrine that we confront, in your experience, can you possibly prevail over an enemy you don't know, whose animating forces you don't comprehend or will not at least acknowledge?
Well, that's it. You have to first come to grips and acknowledge what the threat is. And until you do that, you're not going to be successful. And when you have an administration who keeps deflecting what the true nature of the threat is, this has been part of the problem.
Yeah, it's a formula for disaster, and I think we're testing the proposition and finding out that it is, in fact, going to produce that result. Admiral Ace Lyons is our guest. We're going to pause for just a moment. We have a full hour to discuss this and much, much more with him. Stay tuned. More with Ace Lyons straight ahead.
Folks from around the country think those of us who live in Washington, D.C. must be all politicians or work for the government. Yeah, a lot of us do, but not everybody. It takes a lot of people to make this place work. Teachers, doctors, taxi drivers, restaurant workers, law enforcement, educators. Let me get right down to it. We're not that unlike any other place in America. We work hard all week just to get home and spend some quality time with friends and family. We are normal here. That's why I keep this station on all the time. This is the one station that really gets Washington, D.C. AM 1260, The Answer.
On August 2nd, 2006, Mark Allen Lee became the first Navy SEAL to lose his life in Iraq.
Debbie Lee became a Gold Star mom that day.
And it started a lifelong mission of her own. In Mark's honor, Debbie founded America's Mighty Warriors,
dedicated to supporting the troops and their families.
AMW educates the public through speaking engagements, rallies, and events to raise awareness and appreciation of our military.
AMW advocates for the troops.
Funding, rules of engagement, benefits. AMW is committed to being a voice for justice for our troops. AMW serves Gold Star families, retreats, concerts, special events.
Good things to remind the families they're not forgotten.
America's Mighty Warriors.
Nonprofit.
Dedicated to the troops and their families.
Donations are tax deductible.
Log on to americasmightywarriors.org.
Find out how you can help.
The best of America deserves our best. Log on today.
americasmightywarriors.org.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
Every year, more American adults die from vaccine-preventable diseases than from breast cancer, traffic accidents, or AIDS. Vaccines like the one for pneumococcal disease can protect adults from illnesses that can cause missed days of work, hospitalization, and even death. Pneumococcal disease is an infection that can lead to pneumonia, meningitis, or even a severe blood infection. That's just one example of an infection that can spread from person to person. Getting vaccinated can help protect you and those close to you. I'm Dr. Susan Rehm of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. When I speak with my patients, I urge them to get all their recommended vaccines. Now I'm urging you to speak with your doctor to find out which vaccines you need. For more information about the vaccines that are recommended for adults and the diseases they prevent, like HPV, whooping cough, tetanus, and shingles, visit adultvaccination.org. That's www.adultvaccination.org.
Ready to roll?
Go for it.
Hi, I'm Jessie Jane Duff. I'm a retired United States Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, and I served 20 years on active duty serving this great country. I'm with Concerned Veterans for America now. After I got off active duty, I realized I still wanted to be involved and help change the direction our country is going. Concerned Veterans for America offered me that great opportunity. If you want to get involved and you're thinking of getting involved, please visit our website because we have many activities throughout the nation. We have wonderful representatives in each state who are putting forward different ways you can become engaged. So go to the website at concernedveteransforamerica.org, and you do not have to be a veteran. But if you support the freedoms that we all fought so hard for to defend this great nation, then consider participating in the many activities we are participating in and helping to change the direction our country is going.
listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by Admiral James Ace Lyons, a former four-star admiral in the United States Navy, a man who began as an enlisted man and worked his way up through the ranks to become the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, which at the time was the largest single military command in the world. He has been sharing with us some of his insights about particularly shortcomings of the Obama administration's approach to national security, its penetration by members of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the succumbing of the administration to its influence operations. And one place in which I wanted to specifically get your thoughts, Admiral, I know you've been deeply involved in trying to get to the bottom of the Benghazi episode that took place back on September 11th, 2012. Talk a little bit about your involvement in that truth-seeking and what you've concluded so far.
Well, I'm one of the core members of the Citizens Committee on Benghazi, headed up by Roger Arnoff. What we found out that the facts are this. There was advance warning that an attack was going to occur. That's number one. I have personally talked to the five CIA contract guards who wrote the book 13 Hours. They knew several days in advance. They had received word through their intelligence communications that there was going to be an attack on U.S. facilities in Benghazi. In fact, the day before the attack, they had received another warning that an attack was going to occur on Libyan government facilities in Benghazi. But more before that, several months before, there were continually requests for upgraded security measures and guards to be placed at that special mission compound, and for Ambassador Stevens' personal security, all of which were turned down by the State Department.
We're visiting with Admiral Ace Lyons, the chairman of the Center's Military Committee, a relationship I'm extraordinarily proud of. Admiral, you were saying that we've been told by people on the ground that there was advance warning of an attack. There had been very, very concerted efforts made to improve security on the ground. That didn't happen. Quickly, what is it that went down, as you see it, within the State Department on these requests? And what happened subsequent to the attack that seemed to lay the blame for all of this, not on some premeditated jihadist action, but on a video?
Well, the video played absolutely no part in the attack on our facilities in Benghazi. But more importantly, Frank, you have to back up here. With the repeated requests for increased security and being consistently turned down by the State Department was a pure dereliction of duty. And when the attack occurred, I have found out from several sources, including the five contract CIA guards, and I knew separately, we had a 130-man force, Marine Force recon team sitting at Sigonella. And according to the guards, we had a C-130 gunship at Sigonella. We also had a Marine fast team. This is just 300 and some odd miles from Benghazi. Those same personnel told me we had an F-16 debt at Souda Bay in Crete, which is about 350 clicks. Boy, one thing that has not come out at all is the night of the attack at 10 o'clock, 2200 Washington time, I am told that control for responding to the attack was changed from the Department of Defense to the State Department. This, to me, is unconscionable, how such a thing could occur. When I was on the Lou Dobbs show, Lou asked me to speculate what I thought happened. I said, this looks like an operation that went terribly wrong. I said, the only thing that made sense to me was that Ambassador Stevens was to be kidnapped and held hostage in exchange for the release of the blind sheikh. And I have seen nothing to this date that has changed my view of the circumstances there.
The blind sheikh, of course, being Omar Abdul Rahman, who was convicted and sentenced to life in prison for his involvement in the first attack on the World Trade Center, a man who has been very much admired, and his release has been sought for years by the Muslim Brotherhood and other jihadists. Admiral Lyons, what is the upshot, as you see it, of this report about Benghazi by the House Intelligence Committee, released in a classic Washington event a late Friday afternoon, of the Friday afternoon before the Thanksgiving holiday, no less. What do you make of its contents, which seem to suggest that there was no problem here, folks? Move along, nothing to see?
This is a pure cover yard, you know what. I've talked to a couple of members of the committee who said they didn't sign the report, regardless of this, that it was unanimous. That is not true. In fact, those members told me they only had a few minutes to kind of thumb through the report, and they don't agree with those conclusions. You know, you have to look at it. You have to really have a jaded look at this report, because people should not forget that the chairman's wife was deeply involved in the Blue Mountains, selection of the Blue Mountains security force for providing the security for the Benghazi special mission compound. So that, to me, actually plays very large in how this report was shaped.
Admiral, before we move on, we're going to have to pause here in just a moment to several of the other threats that we're facing at the moment. In terms of the larger issue of the jihadists, how important do you think it is that the United Arab Emirates has identified not one but two organizations associated with the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States, the Council on American Islamic Relations and the Muslim American Society, as terrorist organizations?
Well, I think it's overdue that they did this, and I was very pleased that they came out and identified these groups as terrorist organizations, which they are. And by the way, I got to tell you, Frank, Saudi Arabia in March of 2014 also designated the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And I did an op-ed at the time, and I said, what are we waiting for?
Well, and indeed, that is a very ripe question. I know that Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota has introduced legislation to have the Muslim Brotherhood designated in this fashion. But what's interesting, particularly to me, Admiral, is we find ourselves confronting all the time the folks at the Council on American Islamic Relations and some of these other Brotherhood front organizations, but to have them identified not just as Muslim Brotherhood front organizations, but essentially as terrorist front organizations, and by an important ally in the region, we're told, the United Arab Emirates, is a signal development, it seems. Admiral, we're going to have to pause for just a moment. When we come back with Admiral Ace Lyons, we're going to talk about a country that featured prominently during his years as the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, Communist China. That and more with Ace Lyons straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In my nearly four decades in Washington's national security business, I've never seen anything quite like what Representative Mike Rogers perpetrated last week. In the twilight zone of a Friday afternoon, as Congress was leaving town for Thanksgiving, Representative Rogers, the retiring chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, released a highly controversial report about Benghazi. It basically exonerated the Obama administration of any wrongdoing in the run-up to, course of, and the period following the murderous jihadist attack there. To do so, the authors had to ignore inconvenient facts and massively distort the public record, prompting Senator Lindsey Graham to call the report crap. But why would the intelligence panel issue any Benghazi product now, just as a select committee is gearing up? Could Mr. Rogers be attempting a cover-up? This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Learn more at securefreedom.org.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When we decided to rename this radio station, we came up with one word, one very big word, answer. That's because we know our listeners better than anybody. We know you wake up every day with an insatiable appetite for news and information. But more than that, you want to know what to make of it all. No matter what happens, if it matters to you and you listen long enough, you'll learn what it means and different ways to think about it. That's why we're here. Do this better than any station in town. Welcome aboard. AM 1260, The Answer.
Navigating this world when you are undereducated can be difficult. I'm Dr. Ben Carson, and I know this for a fact. When I was growing up, my family lived in dire poverty, and because of my poor learning skills, my classmates called me dummy. My life began to turn around when my mother encouraged me to read. I went from the bottom of my class to graduating from Yale University and becoming the youngest director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital. I know how important it is to nurture a child's dream.
When I grow up, I want to become a scientist.
I want to be a doctor, just like Ben Carson.
I hope to become an engineer.
I want to be a teacher or maybe a broadcaster.
The Carson Scholars Fund is impacting schools across the nation by encouraging children to read, write, and excel at math and science so they can realize their dreams. We need your help. To learn more about the Carson Scholars Fund and to donate, visit our website at carsonscholars.org.
After all, the person who has the most to do with your success is you.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined for this very important one-hour conversation with one of the country's most eminent military officers, former four-star Admiral Ace Lyons. He commanded, among other very important positions, the United States Pacific Fleet and has gone on in his post-Navy career to contribute mightily, including these days as a columnist for the Washington Times, and as mentioned in the previous segment, as a member of the Citizens Committee on Benghazi. Admiral, I wanted to go to Asia with you, if I can, in this virtual way at least. In the period since you commanded the U.S. Pacific Fleet, there have been enormous changes in the region, of course. Our own fleet is much diminished. Our allies have become somewhat fractious and perhaps less confident of our leadership. But the biggest change of all is the emergence of communist China as a very formidable adversary. Talk about these developments and maybe starting with the changes that you've observed with China.
Well, I think you have to go back to 1991 when we were asked to leave the Philippines. And of course, what I tried to tell certain members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time that, look, Subic Bay in the Philippines was our key logistic strategic infrastructure that we relied on for all our operations in the Western Pacific and the Indian Ocean. And when we left Subic Bay, there was a vacuum created in the Western Pacific, and of course, China quickly filled it. They declared at that time, in 1991, that the entire South China Sea was their territorial waters. Unbelievable. Who would have thought such a declaration would even have any standing? But that's, in fact, what's going on today. That's what's driving their military expansion and their grabbing of contested islands, shoals, and reefs throughout the entire South China Sea and the East China Sea. And it's involved with their conflict with Japan over islands which Japan has been administering since the end of World War II. What China wants to do is have total dominance over what they call the first island chain, which includes those water areas I just talked about, plus Taiwan. And they want to extend their hegemony out to the second island chain, which includes Guam. Now, they've had a very aggressive military buildup over the past decade, which has involved a double-digit buildup of both their conventional and strategic forces. You should not overlook the fact that China has over 3,000 miles of underground reinforced tunnels for their strategic forces. You know, I talked with the former head of the Russian strategic forces. I asked him, how many strategic weapons do the Russians estimate that China has? He told me they estimate 1,600 to 1,800. We are estimating 300. I'm inclined to go the Russian estimate.
Unfortunately, that would be consistent with the kind of mass construction that you've just talked about, Admiral. Speaking of the Russians, let's turn quickly to what Vladimir Putin is up to, Admiral. This is another adversary that some have told us we no longer needed to worry about, that we could safely ignore its strategic threats or capabilities. What do you make of what Vladimir Putin is up to these days, and should we, in fact, continue, basically, to turn a blind eye to him?
Well, if we do, we'll do it at our own peril. Let's face it, Frank. Putin's game plan is very clear. He wants to emasculate the United States and NATO as a defensive alliance. That's what's going on in Ukraine and what previously went on in Georgia, our inability to really respond in an effective way. And there's one other aspect here which is never really touched on. Let me tell you, there is, in Russian mafia terms, there's a word that translates to understanding. And let me tell you, Russian intelligence is excellent on getting the background on political leaders throughout the world. And I can tell you, based on past Russian intelligence cases, they have a full book on President Obama. They know where he was born. They know who his mentors were. They know what his grades were in college. They know who paid for his college education and so forth. They have everything on him.
Most of these things that the American people have not been read in on, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they use this information judiciously. And that's why I've come to the conclusion why we're not providing Ukraine with legal authorized defensive equipment, because that's part of the understanding, in my view.
Well, it was certainly clear in that comment that was made on what the president thought was an off-mic moment that he was going to be able to be more flexible with Vladimir Putin on all of these things.
Compounding all this, Frank, is the unilateral disarmament of our military forces under sequestration. And you've got to, you know, the financial crisis of 2008 created the perfect storm for the Obama administration for the implementation of sequestration, and for, because this was an Obama administration initiative.
I want to come back to that, Admiral Lyons, because I think your expertise in the condition of our military is exceptionally valuable. I would like, though, to just ask one last question in terms of the context in which that practice is so ill-advised, and that is the development by the Iranians, a country that you've had long and hard experience with, as indeed we all have, but you most especially as a senior military commander at the time. What do you make of the effort the administration is now engaged in to romance these guys? A deal, at the time we're speaking, has not yet been struck, but is by some accounts in the offing with them on their nuclear program. But more generally, the administration has been approaching the Ayatollah Khamenei about cooperating on fighting the Islamic State, for example. Give us ground truth on the Iranian regime, if you would, Admiral, quickly.
It's disgusting. I couldn't believe it shows the true character of the Obama administration that we would go on bended knee, hat in hand, and ask the Iranian theocracy, who has been a declared enemy of the United States for 35 years, to help us out combating the Islamic State. It had to be humiliating to the American public and certainly to all those families who have lost loved sons and daughters to the terrorist acts of the Iranian regime. Unconscionable.
And unlikely to result in any good, I take it, either on the nuclear side or the terrorist abatement side.
There's not, look, this is pure nonsense that we're going to have an agreement with Iran that will preclude them from getting a nuclear weapon. You don't build underground reinforced facilities for a peaceful program. If it's so peaceful, it would be out in the open. Furthermore, their oil resources, the fact that they need to have nuclear power as an alternative for their energy requirements is pure nonsense. Their oil reserves will last for another 250 years.
Admiral, we have to pause for just a second. We will be right back with more with Admiral Ace Lyons, currently the president and CEO of Lyons Associate, among other very important positions he held in the United States Navy, the former commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. We'll be talking about the hollowing out of our military and much more straight ahead.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, our nation's premier public interest law firm fighting for your faith and freedom in courtrooms across America. Make no mistake, we live in a pivotal time. Secular progressives such as Barack Obama and his surrogates are zealously sweeping religion from the public square, foisting Sharia law and other harmful international precedents into our courts and constitution, assaulting the traditional family, and weakening our national defense by, among other things, undermining the strength of our military through social engineering and political correctness. But I can assure you that the American Freedom Law Center is aggressively engaging our nation's enemies with offensive lawfare to defend our fundamental rights and to fight stealth jihad in all of its forms, including the civilization jihad being waged by Muslim Brotherhood front groups operating here in the U.S. Indeed, there is no other public interest law firm as uniquely qualified to fight this battle. But we need your prayers and financial support to succeed. Please consider a tax-deductible donation to support our critical fight for your faith and freedom. Visit us at www.AmericanFreedomLawCenter.org.
Great news for fans of Secure Freedom Radio. Now you can watch original Frank Gaffney and Center for Security Policy video content every day from the comfort of your living room. What makes this possible? A new video streaming service called Roku. All you need is a Roku player and a television to join the millions of Americans who customize their home viewing experience using the more than 1,000 Roku channels to access movies, TV shows, music, and more. When you add the cost-free Secure Freedom Roku channel, you'll gain unlimited streaming access to vital video products of the center, including Secure Freedom Radio, Capitol Hill and National Press Club events, intelligence briefings, Frank Gaffney's acclaimed 10-part Muslim Brotherhood in America course, and more. The Secure Freedom Roku channel integrates information and entertainment, establishing a new media battle space in the war for the free world. Go to securefreedom.org/ROKU today to learn how you can be a part of it. We hope you'll see us soon.
This is Jenny Thomas. I do video interviews of leaders with the Daily Caller. I had the privilege recently of interviewing Diana West about her extraordinary new book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can see it at dailycaller.com. American Betrayal reads like a spellbinding historical thriller, but it is also a carefully documented account of how the U.S. government was penetrated by communist agents in the years after President Roosevelt normalized relations with the Soviet Union. Diana West shows how a similar assault is being mounted today by yet another collectivist ideology, the supremacist Islamic doctrine of Sharia. She establishes that while the communists and the Islamists may have very different visions of the world, they have employed the same techniques to defeat America. Please watch my conversation with Diana West about American Betrayal, then check out the other great leaders we profile at dailycaller.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for our fourth and final installment of this very special conversation with one of the former military leaders I admire most, Admiral James Ace Lyons. He was formerly, among other things, the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, but he also served in a number of interesting spots. He was the U.S. military representative to the United Nations, the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations. He was the commander of the U.S. Second Fleet and of NATO's Striking Fleet. He is a man, in short, of extraordinary experience, both in uniform and out. Today you can see his writings, among other places, at the Washington Times. Admiral, you spoke a little bit earlier about the hollowing out of our military. This seems to be deliberate. It seems to be quite systematic. And its repercussions are likely to be felt not only by our military, but by the world, really, for years to come. Talk a little bit about this from the perspective of, again, a man who has spent decades in uniform. You've been through similar kinds of drawdowns in the past and know what it takes to put our military back together again. How bad is this relative to what you've witnessed in years before?
Well, I have to take you all the way back to the Carter years, Frank. At that time, when President Carter and his administration moved in, I was the director of political and military affairs for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then I went out and took command of a task force out of Subic Bay, and I was the logistic force commander for the 7th Fleet. I can tell you at that time that our readiness was atrocious. We had 3 days' worth of threat-oriented ordnance. That's the game changer, the one you work against numerical superiority forces. So going fast forward now, we're approaching that same disastrous position that we were in back 40 years ago. And you don't turn it around overnight. Fortunately, when Ronald Reagan came in and under his peace through strength, force, and the contributions that he made to ensure our national security, this has been eaten away through the peace dividends and over the years. And we're now down to from sequestration. We're headed for the smallest navy prior to World War One, not World War Two, World War One. We're down headed for the smallest army prior to World War II. This is nonsense. We're being challenged throughout the world by Russia, China, Iran. Let me just tell you, Iran has an operational missile base in Venezuela today. This was verified to me by Ambassador Roger Noriega. You know, Russia has announced they're going to be conducting and are conducting simulated missile strikes against the United States today, and they're going to continue conducting flights into the Western Hemisphere, into the Caribbean, and we are terribly exposed. Really, one of the things we should be doing today is moving an Aegis missile defense system into our Southern Hemisphere. We should not be allowing these flights and penetrations to occur. We have to really stand up and enforce the Monroe Doctrine, which everybody forgot about. This is really key to where we have to go. And today, let's face it, there's a both strategic missile threat that we have to address. We are seeing cruise and ballistic missiles. We have anti-ship ballistic missiles that China has developed to go against our capital ships, particularly against our carriers. However, we do have technological skills that we're not using today. We have developed an algorithm that has the capability to handle all maneuvering hypersonic warheads that are aimed at our ships and our country. We just have to move forward. It's been tested over 15 years, and it can be a game changer. I'm in discussions with the Missile Defense Agency over that capability today.
Just one example of your continuing an extraordinary service to our country, Admiral Ace Lyons. I couldn't agree with you more that technology, among others, needs to be brought to bear to protect both our fleets and our citizens against the sorts of threats that are a building. Admiral, based upon what you've said about the president, his background, his agenda of transformation, are you of the view that I am, that what's going on here is tantamount to a determined effort to break the all-volunteer force? And talk, if you would, a little bit about, beyond the readiness issue that you've already addressed, the need for modernization of our forces, as well as ensuring that troops, the sailors and so on, have the training that they need to assure that they are able to do their missions. Where are we with respect to those aspects of the hollowing out of our military? And could it result, together with the sort of social engineering that the administration has been engaging in the destruction of this all-volunteer force in which you served for so long?
Well, let's face it, right? When you want to take a country down and turn it around, the first thing you do is you undercut the military. And, you know, that's one of Alinsky's dictums. And that's what we're seeing happen right before our eyes. And our senior military leadership are not speaking out due to political correctness. I mean, this is unconscionable what's going on. The social engineering, which, you know, which is basically destroying our military, the downgrading of, you know, morale, the professionalism that we had instilled, and the military training and capability that made us the finest military force in the world is being undercut by this administration's policy on a daily basis. And this is compounded by sequestration, which is a double whammy on our military capability. And Frank, let me just quickly mention, our strategic forces are atrophied. Our whole infrastructure there is atrophied. We are jeopardizing our national security. We haven't done anything in a strategic sense in over 20-some-odd years. It's unconscionable. While every other nuclear power in the world has modernized their forces, and certainly Russia has, and we should also remember with Russia that they violate the Theater Nuclear Force Treaty with us almost on a daily basis. They modernize all their strategic forces and their conventional forces. He spent over $750 billion modernizing his forces. And part of their strategy in any conflict with NATO today is to employ theater nuclear forces. We can't keep ignoring this. The same way with Iran and their drive to achieve a nuclear weapon capability. Israel is going to be the first target. We're the second target. And the same way with all of the proxies that, you know, Iran, the world's leader in state-sponsored terrorism, to think you can sit down and negotiate an agreement with Iran is pure nonsense.
Admiral, your clarity on the gravity of our situation and the extent to which it is actually becoming worse, not least because of what we're doing to our capacities to contend with it, notably with our military, is just extraordinarily important. I am so grateful to you for taking a full hour with me to talk about these issues and to shed light on both the extent of the problem and what needs to be done to turn it around. We thank you for your service to our country in the past and that you continue to provide, notably at the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon, sir. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again right after the holidays. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.